Kof Ches Adorishan, Tuesday the 8th of March, Rabbi Osher Chaim Levine, Hang On, the 10 Sons of Homon. No, please, the corny title.
Morning, everybody. Shus Avi Murray, it's a pleasure to be here. As we're coming up to Purim, we look again at the Megillah, and we're fascinated how every single year we look at it with fresh eyes. What typically happens is most of the main Purim players, such as the heroes like Mordechai and Esther, and the villains like Haman and Achashverosh, we know all about them. But it's some of the smaller or lesser known characters that are really fascinating, and I'd like to discuss today about the 10 sons of Haman. Now, the Megillah records that after Haman died, Haman was hung on the gallows that he prepared for Mordechai. That took place on the 16th day of Nisan, on Pesach. Now, what then happened was that the Megillah doesn't end there, but it continues by discussing what actually took place. And that day that was designated for the day which Klal Yisrael were Hashmid La'arugah La'abet, and what transpired then. So the Megillah tells us that on the 30th day of Adar in Shushan, Klal Yisrael, they managed to get a reprieve, they were able to fight against their enemies. And with Shushan Abira, Hargu Ayyuhudim Ba'abet, Chamesh Me'ez Ish, they killed 500 people, and then the 10 sons of Haman, Eshpashandasa, etc., as well as B'nai Haman. I know I'm not going to say it in one breath at the moment, but what I'd like to discuss is exactly what Chazal mentioned about this. And later on, Esther reports this to Haman, and she asks for permission for these 10 sons of Haman to be hung on a gallows. And her request is granted by the king, and then they hang Haman's sons on this gallows. Now the Gemara in Megillah, Tes Zion on the base, discusses their deaths and discusses how they're actually, the 10 sons of Haman are written in the Megillah, which is absolutely fascinating. Rabada says, Sorech lememru b'neshima achas, that halacha is that person, you must read the 10 sons of Haman in one breath, without pause. Why is that, my Tama? Because they all died b'neshima achas, they all died at one particular moment. And actually this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Tov Reish Tzadi, Tzorech loy ma'aseres b'nei Haman ba'aseres hako'o b'neshima achas. That must be said in one breath. Why is that? Says the Shulchan Aruch, lo'idia shekulo nerogu v'nitlu ke'echod. They all died and they were all hung up in one go. The Gemara continues, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, and it says that the Vav of Vaisasa, one of the names of Haman, is elongated. Why is that? Because that reminds us of the pole which was used in the river Libros. Seems to be similar to a punt on those who've been to Cambridge. And it's one long, and they were all hung on one pole. Again, we have this idea that the 10 sons of Haman, they die together, they're on one pole together. Achdus. What's the meaning behind this? There's one extra member of the Gemara, Rab Chanina Ber Papa, quoting Rab Shiloi, and he says, Kol Ashirois, Kulam Nitvois, all the Shirois that you have are all, the way they're written, is Areach Agave Levina. What you have is you have a half brick on a whole brick. What you do is, for example, the classic example is Shiris Hayom. So there's three columns, and there's gaps between them. Masha Enkein, when it comes to the Shira of the sons of Haman, the way they are written, transcribed onto the Megillah, is in two separate columns. They are Levina Agabe Levina and Arech Agabe Arech. Why is that? So the Gemara says, Shloi Tehei Tukuma Le Mapalosom. There should not be any possibility for them when they fall down. So if you look at it, the way it's constructed, if they fall down, they fall down there. There's no support. If you've got there, so at least if they fall, there's some support. The fact that there are two columns, some or another, that means that there's no support. And therefore, if they fall, gesundheit, they're fallen, and then that's the end of the whole story. Let's try to understand, who were these 10 sons of Haman? It's really interesting because until we come to the ninth parak of the Megillah, they're not mentioned at all. They weren't involved in, doesn't seem to be that they're part of, they don't have the danger that Haman has, who conspires, Lashmid Arugan Abed Kala Yehudim. Indeed, the Gemara in Megillah discusses how Haman, Knai Nahara, he had a big family, a nice Yiddish family, to the extent that one opinion says he had 208 children. So, you know, out of this, you have these 10. So how are these 10 sons, some another, different from the rest of them? And what particular role do they play, and why do they have to be killed? I mean, l'chore, you don't find that other antagonists like Bilam, that we're so concerned about his children, or Paroi, or those type. Why is it these tents of Haman, they have their own space, they have their own Shira, and what exactly do we mean by Shira? I mean, Shira, typically we understand when you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving you from a miraculous event. What exactly is the Shira of writing these the 10 sons of Haman? And the Gemara says it's similar to the 31 kings in the 12th parak of Yeshua, which again are also transcribed in two columns to show that they fall down, there's no possibility for them to have any binyan, any construction at all. And finally, what significance is it reciting the names B'Neshima Achas? Why is it so important that they have to die the same go, that we have to say it? Just hold a second, a deep breath, right? And then you go ahead and say all the ten sons of Haman in one go. What is so significant? Why do we say that they have to, that we need to mention ten sons of Haman? Why are they significant that they had to die? Why do they need to be Meshiba Achas? And why is this the elongated vav to show that they must be on one pole in the same way? Indeed, the Medrash actually discusses how the Targum quotes that they were actually hung on the same gallows as Haman, because Haman was hung on Pesach. This was in Adar, but the Targum says it was the same gallows. And Bechlal, what's this tree business all about? Haman, he conspires against Mordechai. What does he do? Yeah, he has a gallows in order to hang Mordechai. What happens? V'nafechu, he hangs on this gallows. Well, then Haman's part of the conspiracy against Bigson and Seresh. They also die on these gallows. And then the 10 sons, they also are also put out Tola Ala Eitz, as we say in Amanisim. What is so important with the gallows? And fascinatingly, the Gemara in Chulin says, Haman min ha-Torah minayim, Hamin ha-Eitz hazeh, taken from the reference to the Eitz Hadas. So therefore, Haman himself seems to be connected to this concept of this tree. So he's connected to this tree, he dies on this tree, his sons die on this tree. What's this whole business about trees? Okay, so let's try to understand exactly the Nekuta of Haman and the Nekuta of his sons and see how we can tie this together. We know that Haman plotted Lahashmid La'arugan Abed as Kol HaYehudim. Navat Zokain, he wanted to annihilate Chas HaShalom, the whole of Klal Yisrael in one go. In truth, he comes from Amalek. Amalek, it's not so much that they despise Klal Yisrael, that they despise Hashem. It's Mechama L'Hashem Amalek Nidodar. They try to target HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they can't, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kol Yochol, he's almighty. So what they do is they try and find somebody representative of it. It's a bit similar to, for example, you want to kill the king or the head of state, you can't do it. So your best option is the ambassador to that particular country. Or the way the Medrash puts it, it's like, for example, someone wanted to try and kill the king, he couldn't get to it, but there was a nice statue in the front of the palace, so he decided he's going to deface that statue. So Haman's antagonism was against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus. Now, we know that man is created B'Tselem Elohim. B'Tselem Elohim Boreh. So Adam, man is created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does that mean? It means that man resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has various attributes, various powers and forces that are divine in their origin. And he needs to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the extent that we actually find that he is considered like the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we are like T'umim, we are like twins, right? We're twins with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Indeed, there's an interesting halacha. The halacha, the pasuk says in Parshas Kitzeitze, it discusses how, after the story of Ben Sori Moreh, it mentions about somebody that dies. If a person needs to die, And then you hang him on the tree. Interestingly, hanging is not one of the arba mitzvos. It's not one of the four deaths, the four corporal, four capital punishments from Beis Din. But after somebody that had skila, as machlokes in the Gemara, whether it was anybody who did any skila, or whether it was only someone who was begadeh, somebody who blasphemed, or Ovid Avodah Zorah. But anyway, what you might do is, once you've killed him, part of the misa is, you must hang him on a tree. But, the pasuk continues, loisalin levleisa al ha'etz, but don't remain over there. Why kikila kililas elekim tonoi? And therefore, what you must do is ki kover tigrenu bayom. You have to bury him on that same day. Rather, you mustn't allow his corpse to hang, to be suspended for over the evening. Rashi says, what's the kilisa lekim tolu? Why is this considered a bezoin for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the marshal shtei ha'achim tumim. It's a marshal, it's an analogy of twins. So you don't mean zelazer, identical, one with each other. However, their destinies were completely different. Echad nasesar, one became an officer. The echad nitfas listim, and one became a bandit. The nitla, and then he got caught and he got hung. But the people, that they see somebody hanging, they see this corpse, they don't recognize who it is, so therefore they think it's the official who's doing it. So it's a bezoyin for the official. Therefore, make sure you take him down so that there shouldn't be a bezoyin. Similarly, also says say Chazal, that similarly, since Adam was created by Tzelem Elokim, he's created the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he has a goof, and obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, but nevertheless, within his body, there are lots of important attributes which connect to what's happening in the higher realms. So therefore, therefore it's a bezoyin for the covered, the Tzelem Elokim, the covered within Adam, but in order for him to remain hung. So therefore, make sure you bring him down. What exactly does this mean? The word, the idea of tselem, a person being created by tselem elokim, and they have this level of kovod, is connected to the word tsel. Tsel means a shadow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzilcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow. What it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will act to you how you act to me. Namely, Hashem is saying, the way the Nefesh HaChaim says in the beginning of Shara Aleph, is that you're created by tselem elokim in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What that means is that I am giving you divine attributes. To the same extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world, similarly also your Maisim and your Bechira are also so strong that they pull all the strings within creation. And that's something which a person must recognize. Now, the Maran explains that specifically Haman, his comeuppance had to be through hanging. Why is that? Because we are created by Tzelem Elokim. And what the reason why a person mustn't remain be hung is because that impinges upon his Tzelem Elokim. But we know that Haman, the Gemara says, he arrogantly pushed away HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he made himself into a god, a divinity. Not only did he carry the Avodah Zorah among him as well, he caused people to bow down to him as well. So by doing that, what he was doing is he's belittling the Tzelem Elokim within himself. He's pushing away HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the god, yeah, look at me, I'm a divinity in itself. So therefore, because of this, because he desecrates his Tzelem Elokim, recognizing that I come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather he usurps that control by taking divinity for himself, rather than emanating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore his comeuppance must be specifically through the Misa, which is a bizui for what a person's Tzelem Elokim. Negev k'negev midah. The problem over here is that we know the word tselem is usually used, when it's just mentioned tselem, it's usually used as a reference to a getchka, to a cross, or to an aspect of idolatry. We're created by tselem elokim. You need to make sure that tselem that you have is connected to tselem elokim. You mustn't take that tselem for yourself. You must recognize that the godless of Adam is because he's created by tselem elokim. It's not in and of himself. And he must never forget that. So long as he is emanating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being divine and like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his racham, your racham, etc., then everything's fine. The moment he takes for himself, the moment he projects himself as being his own power, that's when the problem starts. Fascinatingly, we know that Haman Minatar Minayim, Hamina Eitz Hazeh. What's that reference to? That's a reference to the Eitz Hadas. What happened with Eitz Hadas? The chet of the Eitz Hadas was when Adam decided, rather than fulfilling the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created him B'Tzelem Elokim, but rather than doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to, he said, Hamin Eitz Hazeh, he wanted to eat from this tree. What was this tree? This tree for the Eitz Hadas was HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to eat. And by doing that, he said, well, no, let me usurp HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon and allow my Ratzon to be Machriah, to be the definitive decision as to what to do. So he was disconnecting himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than the concept of the Eitz, which is the idea of being connected to Eitz Chaim, which is the source of life. He decided to have the Eitz Hadas, to have his own knowledge, which was based upon himself. But rather what he was doing is, he was setting himself up to a certain extent that we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Adam was considered apikoros, in the sense that he, again, he used his power, but he used his power against HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than to be a mirror, to be a tzeil, a shadow of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. Oy bazoy, if that's the case, we can understand why his punishment, rather than being on an eitz achaim, which should be the source of life, instead, where does he end up? On what's called an eitz yovesh, right? A dried tree. A tree that's not being used to produce, to have fruit, to have growth, to have life. Rather, a tree that is suspended, which is used to cause a person death, to cause a person not to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to sunder his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore we can understand why Haman is connected to the concept of Amina Eitz Hazeh, which is connecting to the Eitz Hadas, disconnecting himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he, rather than emulating the Tzelem Elokim, he had made himself into his own Tzelem, his own God, his own form, and therefore his comeuppance must be, since he's not the twin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since he's projecting himself as being his own force, he has to die specifically through the tree, through this eight. Let's go a little bit weiter and understand how do the sons of Haman fit into the picture. The Maral explains that the sons of Haman, and the reason why it was imperative for them to also die, it wasn't just good enough for Haman to be taken out of the picture, was because the sons of Haman, they personify the idea of Zera Amalek, the seed of Amalek. And we know famously, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholem, Ve'ein Kisoy Sholem, Ad Sheyimcha Amalek. And until Amalek, Mocha Emcha Ezecha, Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Amalek has to be eradicated. There must be no Zecha, there must be no remembrance at all. And there must be no... Why is that? Because so long as Amalek is in this world, they represent hostility to who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. They go against the Achdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. That's why Olam HaShem HaTzir Nishpalit HaReisav. And then we say, only once Amalek gets eradicated, because the Amalek of the Shoresh, the force, who says Hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu im ayin, once it's taken out of the picture, once the Zera Amalek are no longer in control, then we're able to bring about the Achdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be revealed into the world the way it should be. We know that the world was created with 10 Ma'amoros, with 10 declarations. We know that Klal Yisrael received the Torah, and they see that Aseres HaDibros. Without going into the whole number stuff, there's a whole interesting book about it, but the number 10 is always connected to the idea of different protein, different individual components, which combine to make a whole. 10 is a klal, it's an Eidah, it's a minion, so you take the individual components, and they become a whole, unified, communal whole. And that's the klal of the world. Therefore, in the same way that you have Latoiv, that the world is created with ten spheres and ten mamores, Haman's 10 sons, they represent the negative forces which oppose that. So rather than the world being the revelation, the ten mamores through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world being the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 10 sons of Haman, they epitomize the negative forces which go against that. Of Avodah Zarah. And Haman, together with his 10 sons, together the concept of 11, they have a parallel in the 11 klolos, which was said in Har Gerizim, Har Eivol, and that's the that's a whole different shmooz about that. But those are that's Haman, and therefore the ten sons, they represent the koichas which are against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing the world the way it should be. Therefore, the downfall of Haman wasn't just the end of the story, because his legacy survived in his ten sons. They, the ten sons of Haman, they represent the world order of Amalek. The world order of Amalek, which is the idea of schism, the idea of division, the idea to oppose the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way it should be. Therefore, says the Maharal, if that's the case, if that's what the Zera Amalek represent, it's important that these ten sons of Haman, they all die. In order for the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be revealed, not only must they all die, they must all die b'vas achas. There's actually a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, whether or not the ten sons of Haman died the day before. They were killed with the 500 people, and then once they were died, then after that, they were then hung up as a public display. Interestingly, you always find that hanging is always a very public form of execution. Or whether or not, the Rambam says, no, they weren't actually killed then, but when they were killed, and that's actually Loshon of the Mechaba, is they were actually died being hung bevasachas. So in order to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad Bo'olam, explains the Maharal, it's necessary that these ten sons of Haman, who epitomize the world order of Amalek, which goes and contradicts the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they must all die bevasachas, b'mishim achas. They all have to die in the same go, in the same way that we find, for example, Makkos Bechoros, right? Also, it took place in one moment. Came down, and it took place in a split second. Similarly also, and that was to reveal the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the tenth of the Makkos. Similarly also, these ten sons of Haman, they all had to die in one go in order for that to reveal the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that would be a very public declaration of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being revealed and the negation of their forces, Lera, the way they stand for it. So it has to be the exact same moment. And that's why it has to be also on one pole. The idea is that we are joining them together. These ten are protim, but these protim join in terms of a cloud. Haman sets at a new order, a new cloud, which is with his ten sons, which is the force of Amalek. Therefore, the way to negate it, Tzvi Maharal, must be through these ten being in one go and being completely eradicated at the same time. Why not all 208? Okay, absolutely. Excellent. Okay, so there's a whole discussion as to the actual 208, which is the gematria of the word Veroiv Bonov. Indeed, the Maharal actually says the word Haman himself comes to the word Hamoin, which is the idea of a lot. And that epitomizes that he takes on the role of Esav, which is Yeshli Rav. The idea is everything is, there's a multitude, which is important for him. You know, the more money he amasses, the greater thing, that's always the same. Compared to Yaakov, which is Yeshli Kol, where everything is completely one. Out of those sons, these ten sons, they epitomize the koichus. You only need one klal. They are the klal within themselves. They encapsulate, they symbolize the idea of Haman having a different order, the order of Amalek, and that order of Amalek has to be negated because they set themselves up against the world order, the creation HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created for the world based on the ten Amoros, based on the ten spheres. Therefore, Zen Umazer, this versus that, it needs to be specifically those particular ten. Indeed, the Medrash has a whole discussion as to what actually happened with all of Haman's sons, right? Whether 70 tried to escape with Zeresh and they got caught, whether some were killed in the fighting and some are strung up as well. But they are the epitome within those particular koichas. And the way the Gra actually says is that it epitomizes the koichas of various Avodah Zorah. But I think you need to know a little more Kabbalah about that, which I obviously don't. But that's the idea. The public spectacle has to be with these particular ten to show that we're negating the Zera Amalek and what they symbolize. If that's the case, we can understand the idea of what's the Shira, what's the downfall, why is their downfall has to be complete. The idea of their downfall means that their order has to be completely, totally destroyed, annihilated. And the way it's done is that it's in two particular columns. For those of you who have kids who know when you're playing with Lego, right? If you're trying to construct something based upon two columns, it's not going to really stand as well. There needs to be the machria. You need to have the three columns if you want, Because actually of our shlishi, yachriya b'neihem. You need to have, once you have two opposite forces. The benois hamon, they represent the koichas opposing the achdus of Akash Baruch Hu, the oneness of Akash Baruch Hu. So therefore they are the two columns which represent the idea of pirud, of division. Masha enkein, what's necessary is that there is division in this world, but we find that number three is when you take two opposites and synthesis, antithesis, and then you synthesis between the two. What you do is you bring together two opposite things, and you can do them together. Therefore, the true shira, the way the shira which you find in, let's say, Oz Yosher and Shiva's Tavora, etc., is with three different columns where there are various gaps, because that's a binyan, that's a construction. The shira is where things are complete. What we want, as far as the Benoisa of Haman is concerned, is they have to be, there needs to be the idea of where they are, there's a division between the two. And unlike a symphony where you take different parts together and they join together in harmonious shira, the way it should be, over here you just have the. You just have two particular columns, there is nothing to join them together. And that's the mapola of the Benoisa Haman, which more or less means is that. Sorry, the mapala of the sons of Bnei Haman, the sons of Haman. What they need to do is that there needs to be a complete mapala that's falling where they are unable to steady themselves and to arise again. True shira is when all the wicked fall; they have a complete downfall. In the same way that we find that, for example, the 31 kings of Canaan, they also Yeshua was told. You're not allowed to allow any of them to remain alive. They have to be completely, totally wiped out. So also, as far as Haman and the epitome of the Amalek is concerned, that also has to be completely, totally eradicated. Therefore, the Benois Haman, the Bnei Haman, we don't know how many Benois Haman there were, actually. The Bnei Haman, they themselves, their Mapala had to be on the same eights. This idea of the eights, we mentioned beforehand, is that Adam eats Hasada. Every single human person is like an eight. The idea of the eight is something that is productive, something that is fruitful, something which has roots, but it has chiyus. So long as the fruit is attached to the tree, it's able to grow, it's able to develop, it's able to get nutrients from the tree. The moment it's severed, the moment it's cut, the moment Adam, for example, wanted to take from the Eitz Hadas and sever the peri from the Eitz, you're disconnecting yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're disconnecting yourself from the idea of Kedusha. We find, interestingly, that the Tselem must be, where a person's tselem must be not disconnected, as we mentioned beforehand. The person's tselem must be tselem Elohim, not just the tselem in itself. The gematria of the word eights is? Sorry? Eights.
160.
The gematria of the word tselem? 160. What's the idea behind this? Is that the tselem that Haman establishes himself opposes the concept of the eights. The idea of the eights, which should really be the eights hachayim, the tree of life, which is the Torah, which is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he severs this. Rather than being B'Tselem Elohim, he just takes the Tselem. He just takes the eights. He doesn't, there's not the eights hachayim involved in the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael, one of the reasons why the whole story poem took place is because Klal Yisrael were mishtachavet to the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar. They bowed down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalek attacks. Hayesh Hashem b'kibbeinim ayin. We have to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever the case is. We must make sure we remain connected. We have this, the Tselem, B'Tselem Elohim. We have the Eitz, but it must be the Eitz HaChaim. It must be the Torah. And therefore, finally, we find that the Bnei Haman, not about the Bnei Haman, the Bnei Haman, we say that Bnei Bonav Shel Haman, Lom de Torah, one of the Girises, Bnei Brak. Once they have a complete total reversal, once they can disconnect from the Eitz Hadas, which is Homan, Hamina Eitz Hazeh, but rather they connect to the Eitz Hachayim of Torah, Eitz Hamina Machazikim Bach, then even the Bnei Bonav Shel Homan, they even themselves have this possibility of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and joining themselves. Therefore, the Bnei Homan, their Shira is finally when all the Rishon, all the Rishas, all the Zera Amalek gets eradicated from the world, and then therefore the Geula that takes place, the true Shira will take place. Begulat Sidabim Herogameinu. Amen.